course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
And welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. I'm ready to talk about this movie this week, and I'm also excited to talk about a movie that I watched this last week.
Well, then let's get to that, because what did we watch? I didn't watch anything, as usual. I'm so damn busy. I gotta change that, man. I gotta get back to watching something. But I get so wrapped up in stuff, I don't. So tell us, what did you watch?
Man, oh man, oh man. So over the weekend, Sunday, we had like a little bit of free time, and we were like, hey, maybe we can watch a movie. I was like, I don't need to go watch a movie this week in theaters, because, you know, we had the screener link for the movie we're reviewing today. So I was like, oh, you know, I've already seen it. So, you know, what do we want to do? And then my wife's like, oh, let's go watch this movie at the theater. So I went and watched Bring Her Back. So
yeah.
Bring Her Back. I didn't know this, but this is made by the same people who made Talk to Me.
Yeah.
Danny and Michael Filippo, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, dude. This movie was absolutely fucking insane. I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of it, because you really need to watch it. And I think that we may need to review this movie at some point, because this is probably top three of 2025, even with everything else that's coming out this year. It is mind-boggling how good this movie was, and I feel like it didn't get hardly any press. Like,
no,
not like Talk to Me did, you know?
Yeah, it's not getting talked about a lot. It doesn't have a very wide theatrical run, because I know we discussed, hey, what, you know, can we review that one? And there's like nowhere in my area that really has it. I mean, I got to drive quite a ways to get to it, which, you know, I mean, I understand where I am, that happens, but this was even a little more so. So it's like it didn't get a very wide release, and which is a little disappointing, because I love Talk to Me. So I was really hoping, you know, but I've heard nothing but positive things online. Lots of people are saying this, you know, you got to see this movie. So maybe I'll make an effort to get somewhere to watch it, and we can discuss it. If we don't do a full review, we'll do kind of a little bonus review in the open or something, and talk about it. We'll talk about it somehow. But it's definitely a movie that I want to watch. I want to watch badly. So
yeah,
and then now I want to watch it even more. So
yeah, there's a scene, and I'm not going to say anything about it. All I'm going to say is there's a scene that literally made me recoil, just an absolute, like, what the fuckery is going on here? And you'll know exactly what it is when and if you eventually see it. So we can talk about that later.
Interesting. So there you go. If it's in your area, please go see it, because we need to support these guys, because, again, Talk to Me, I love Talk to Me. We got a review in the archives. People can go back and I'm pretty sure, I can't imagine we did not sing the praises of it.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I got the hand from Talk to Me, right? That's what the movie we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Make sure I was not confused. Yeah, the little hand, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. What was it? I mean, what did they call that? It was a hand, plaster, you know, a witch's hand. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think they said it was the hand of a witch that was cut off.
Yeah. But anyway, I got the thing. It's actually kind of like, I think, an incense burner, because it's got like a hole in the finger, but I don't burn incense in it. I have it on display, and it's pretty cool, though. Yeah, I love Talk to Me. So, you know, I definitely want to see this movie. So if it's in your area, go watch it, because if it's does well, it might even, you know, get expanded and picked up a little longer on release, or it might help them in the future. So I'm going to try to get somewhere and see that then as soon as I can. Unfortunately, my mobility is next to nil. I've got a knee injury that's been dragging for a while. Got an MRI coming up on it. It makes going places very difficult for me, but not impossible. So I'll see if I can seek it out so that we can maybe talk about it next week or the week after or something. So
Absolutely.
But I guess we didn't. Did I even mention what we were reviewing this episode? Did I maybe I jumped right over that because of what you
I think we
said.
got rocking and rolling. I got excited and I was like, man.
Yeah, I jumped right to it. So yeah, this episode we are reviewing Piglet, which I did unearth. This is not part of the Pooniverse. This is a side movie, which is kind of weird because it felt like it was part of it.
It
We'll
kind
talk.
of did.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. But from everything I read, it's not. But we'll talk more about that in the review. Spoiler-free review for you, those of you who have not seen it. But we will, talk a little about this and one of our favorite topics of the day, public domain, as we call it, public domain horror. I don't know what other people are calling it, but that's what we call it. I believe some of these are called what are they calling it? They're not called Poon. Well,
Public domain horror.
yeah, that's what we call it. But no, I'm talking about the Pooniverse, guys. They're using the Pooniverse, but there's another like Twisted Childhood, something like
Oh
that.
yeah. Oh
They,
crap. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll have to look it up.
yeah, they've got a little something, something. I can't remember what it is. It's like Twisted Childhood Universe or something that they're calling these, but which is obviously right. We're talking these are fairy tale type things. But again, for people, and I'm talking to you, Monica. We had you on. You blasted the public domain horror. A lot of these began as very scary horror type horror, related things. Some of the Grimm stories and whatever. They were much, much scarier and darker before they were polished up for children. Some of them, right? I mean, some obviously not, right? We're talking about the Winnie the Pooh stuff. That obviously is not very dark, but it's
Right.
okay. It's okay. But we'll talk about Piglet in a little bit. We've already talked about what we watched, so then let's just move right on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And our first segment is Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where Ike and I give you just that, a cheesy slasher, low budget movie. Kind of an off the wall movie, kind of a typically it's a movie that's probably not the greatest, but sometimes the bad movies have a certain charm to them. This week, this is not a movie I have seen. I'm guessing you haven't seen it either.
I have
And
not.
yeah, and we're going to talk about because when we get to the end of this little segment, it's well, let's just say it's we'll get to that. It's nearly impossible to see. The movie is Pig, written by Adam Mason and Andrew Howard, directed by Adam Mason. Now, when I say written, that's very loose. I'll tell you why in a minute. The movie is starring Andrew Howard, Guy Burnett, Molly Black, and others. It is described as the day in the life of a psychotic hillbilly and his captives, innocent people he has taken prisoner to indulge his violent fantasies. You had me a psychotic hillbilly. Now, here's the deal. This movie is very unique because from what I read, and I looked and tried to look into this as much as I could, this movie was only screened twice at film festivals, and then streamed online just a handful of times, like on their site or something like that, not a service. And then it has not been streamed since or given a physical release, and it's not out there on any streaming service. So apparently, if what I'm reading is correct, and I don't know, perhaps it has changed, perhaps it has gone to a streaming service lately. I don't know that. But according to the things I have read, this movie's not available to watch. And it's only been seen a handful of times. So that's wild to me. The movie was filmed on a budget of $3,000, and the entire 80 minutes of the movie is one continuous shot following the main character. And the entire film was improvised as no script was written. There was just the kind of the guidelines of what the movie was to be. It was an 80-minute straight-through continuous shot, and it was all completely improvised. Now, this movie apparently, I guess, like I said, it's very hard to see. But now I am dying to see this now, because I want to see what this looks like, a continuous shoot that was mostly improvised. I'm intrigued. I'm very, very intrigued. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, if it's not out there, it's not out there. There's no way to watch it. But I would love to. And I don't know. I wonder why it's not been put on a streaming service. Why they've not, I don't know, why they've not put it out there. I would think somebody would have picked it up. I don't know. I'd be curious to see the thinking behind what's going on with this. But it's got my attention. And I don't know why it's called Pig. I mean, I'm guessing Pig has got something to do with the hillbilly, but I don't know. So how this whole thing, it sounds made up. It sounds just surreal, but it's a real thing. It's very odd. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, it's very strange. And I was just doing some Googling as we were sitting here, which, yeah, I mean, there's like Reddit threads where people are like trying to find like bootleg copies and stuff. So,
It's peculiar.
it is. It's very weird. So part of me is thinking to myself, like, obviously this movie exists, but like, it kind of seems like it was almost purposefully done like this, so that way it would be like a modern, like, because there were movies, at one point in time that you couldn't buy via normal means. These movies would get produced and they'd be sold, because, either they couldn't be rated or, they were sold out of back rooms at, movie stores and stuff like that. So, it kind of seems like this is the modern version of that, where they're like, oh, we didn't really get a legit streaming, deal or anything like that. So it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's like building a buzz, right? My
Yeah.
feeling is the movie's probably not that great, right? Let's be real. It's probably not that great. No offense, low budget, one shoot. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, right? I mean, that doesn't mean it doesn't have, positive qualities or whatever. I'm not putting down a movie I'm not seeing, but I'm not saying it's probably not this really extraordinarily great movie. But it's odd that if you're going to do this, you're going to try and build this buzz about it because only a few people have seen it and people are like want to see it. At some point, don't you want to try to capitalize on that buzz? I mean, don't you want to all of a sudden pop out there and say, okay, for a limited time, we're going to put out Pig on Blu-ray, only so many copies, get it now, and
Right.
just right because people are going to snatch it up, and then you can or whatever and. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I, again, how do you know? Maybe they moved on to other projects. Just thought, whatever. We're done with that. And no, I don't know. Because I don't know, much about Adam Mason. He wrote, helped write and direct it, or Andrew Howard, who helped write. I don't know what they've done further. It's peculiar. It's very odd that a movie made, in recent times, I don't have the date here, but I believe it was in the 2000s. Is like a lost film now. It's peculiar, and of course it's purpose, purpose on purpose, right? Somebody would have put it out on physical media. Somebody would have put it on one of the streaming services because everything's out there. And if nothing else, right? You could put it up on yourself on YouTube or something like that, or on your site or whatever. It's very peculiar.
Yeah, it was released in 2010, but the guy who made it, I mean, he has done other stuff. He has credits. Like, the guy who made it, his name is Andrew Mason. I mean, he has other credits as recent as 2023. He's got a movie on Tubi called Baby Blue, for instance. So I don't
Interesting.
know, it's strange.
It is, and I'm going to try to track this guy down and reach out to him. And I want to see if we can get him for an interview. Now, no promises to anybody out there, but you know what? Dave's not afraid to take the shot. What's the worst that can happen, right? I don't find him or he says no, no big deal. But I'm going to go for it because I want to talk to this guy and I want to ask him, what the hell's up with Pig, man? Why aren't you letting us see it? And no, we're going to see. I want to try to interview him. I want to see the thinking if he'll go into it, if he'll even dive into it. But so we'll see. If that pro you know if that turns out to be something, of course you'll all know, right? This is
Right.
probably our first chance to say, hey, follow us on social media. We're out there to listen to screams. We're on all the platforms. And so if something develops here with our search for the pig creator, you'll know by following us. So, all right, let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. All right, and it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is the segment where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback, or we jump into a conversation that we have that we've taken from social media that people are having, and we talk about it all here on the show. And with the public domain horror and all the films that are out there now, including the one we're reviewing today called Piglet, it brought up a discussion I saw. Now, this has been a little bit back where I saw this. This is not a recency, but I thought it fit today. What pop culture character would make a good horror movie villain? Now, I'm pretty sure before we have had a conversation about what property or whatever would we like to see made into a horror movie. This is not, I don't, you know, this is maybe this is a little different. I want to focus in on a character, a particular character that would make a good villain that perhaps we would not expect to be a villain. And we're going to just have, as far as just for discussion's sake, we're not going to worry about copyrights and all that, et cetera. We don't, who cares right now, right? This is just a dream world conversation. So, Ike, do you have anybody in mind?
So I was actually when I saw this on this list, I pulled up like a list of like the 100 most iconic fictional characters, and I was just going through here, just kind of, and I mean I don't know how, I don't know how accurate this list is, just because some of these, I mean they seem like popular, but like some, like for instance, like George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life's on here. I mean I'm sure that's a popular movie. I'm sure he's a popular
Man,
character.
yeah,
Top 100.
everybody talks about It's a Wonderful Life, but I'm like, okay, it's not a Christmas go-to for me. I'm sorry.
Is not. But one of the ones on here that I saw, and I was like, you know, honestly, like, I'm surprised nobody's done it yet. And I'm gonna have to look and see is Charlie Brown.
Oh, now see, there have been comic books with there is a comic, I can't remember what it's called now. There was at one point a comic book series or a trade paperback or something like that. I'm not sure how it was released, that I believe had Charlie Brown kind of as a, I'm not think a badass kind of assassin kind of guy.
Okay.
I don't know how true to the Peanuts lore and world it kept. I'm not sure. I never read it, but it is something that's out there that is at least loosely based on Charlie Brown and the Peanuts. And, you know, hey, it does, right? And people, I've seen people that have done little bits and pieces of things, right? Where Peanuts characters in the, you know, how they really should be, where they have different problems and stuff, right? Not like any long form work, you know, just memes and weird things. Yeah, but it is, there has been something comic book wise. Again, it didn't, I don't think it ran long. There was something out there with Charlie Brown like that. I can't remember.
I
But it was
gotcha.
probably 10 or so years ago, I'm thinking, but I can't remember. But it
But
would be intriguing to see, you know, kind of that, because, right, I mean, Charlie Brown, everything goes bad, right? He nothing goes for him. He always, you know, he can't play baseball, he can't kick the football, he gets his kite stuck in the tree, right? No one respects him. And what if one day he snaps? And I mean, come on, that's not a leap.
I was gonna say I think they could very easily do, and I mean I guess it kind of depends on how, like, what's the word I'm looking for, how far they're willing to go for it, but like I could definitely see like a Charlie Brown, like, I don't cancel me, but like a Columbine type thing, you know what I mean, like that kind of world where like, oh, he gets like pushed into a corner and bullied and then snaps,
Yeah, I
turns into a
mean,
serial killer kind of thing.
yeah, trying to take out his peers that have picked on him.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would definitely envision it in a, in the future, high school aged, and he's finally drawn his line, and all these, you know, all the other characters we know, the Lucys and whatnot that have picked on him over the years, are he's going to seek out his revenge. And it would be curious, where would Snoopy fall in all this? Would Snoopy stick with his owner, or would Snoopy be the hero that stops the owner? Who knows, right? But I don't think that's one we'll ever see. I don't think the Peanuts world and the Charles Schulz estate and all that or would ever let that happen. But
Right.
it isn't true, and I don't know where it lies on. Again, like I said, they made something come up, so I don't know where that lies, because, you know, Charlie Brown's been around a while, so I don't know where all that lies. But yeah, the Peanuts, it's an intriguing one. I didn't really have one. I kind of didn't think this through real well, kind of forgot about it. So I didn't really have a character out. So there, hey, that's all right. I joined in on the I mean, there's a world of characters, right, you can think of. I believe the last time we had this discussion about like a property or whatever, I thought it would be they could do something pretty cool with Pac-Man, right? Because of, with the ghosts and everything, it's already tied into it. If you can make that pretty creepy. I don't know. But see, I don't know about turning Pac-Man into a villain, how that would work or whatever, but maybe. You never know. I'll just leech off the peanuts thing. We had a little conversation about that. I think we'll call that good enough. So,
I think it could work.
sure, yeah. I mean, it'd be intriguing. I don't know how. I don't know. I am a lifelong Peanuts fan myself, so I'm very split on it. Right on the one hand, it's like, ooh, it's kind of intriguing idea. It would be kind of neat. On the other hand, I'm like, no. Don't. I'm like taking the Monica stance. Don't ruin my peanuts. But I don't. I wouldn't care if it came out. I'd be like, oh well, that's a different little thing. It doesn't really apply to the peanuts. I still got the this over here. So let Charlie Brown kill them all,
Right.
and see what happens. Right? I mean, maybe Charlie Brown just gets sick of wearing that zigzag striped shirt all the time, and just goes ballistic, on all of them. As long as he doesn't hurt Snoopy, right? You don't kill a dog.
That's right. That's a
Just
John Wick somebody.
that's right. Just never, no, you never kill a dog. So, all right, then let's move on.
Seven screams of horror.
And for our next segment, we are doing Seven Screams of Horror. This is kind of like, or actually not kind of like, it is like the, I guess it's, is it 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon? I'm not sure on the number there. I think it's 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. The game where people try to connect other actors in Hollywood to Kevin Bacon. Well, this is very similar where when we do this, Isaac's wife, Kayla, gives us two actors. And we are to connect the two actors via movies, television, etc., appearances, whatever. And now we count the connections between how many we do, right? And if you do it in just a standard, a normal movie, it's 1 point. But if you can do it with a horror movie, you get 2 points. Whoever has the most points. No. Other way around, right? Normal movie, 2 points. Horror movie, 1 point. Whoever has the least amount of points, because we're looking for the least amount to connect them, kind of wins. We don't do this die hard. I don't keep track of this. We just kind of do it for fun. But the two names, these are good ones, that Kayla gave us for this episode to connect are Patrick Wilson and David Howard Thornton. So, Ike, did you connect the two? And how many? Okay, are we count, we don't count the movie, right? Do we count the people, right, between? There we go.
That's
I'm sorry.
right.
And how many people did it take you to connect them?
Let's see. So that's one. I think three connections is what it took me to get them. They were all horror movies, though.
Three people or three movies?
Three people, but
Really?
the connections with the so okay start so we don't count the
Oh,
beginning or the end.
right. I see, because I connected them with one actor.
Really?
Yeah, just by, I mean, and this is just digging IMDb here. I went through the Terrifier movies to begin, and didn't really, nothing jumped at me that I wanted to do. So here, let me tell you my connection, okay?
Okay.
David Howard Thornton is in Stream. And also in Stream is Bob Adrian. And then Bob Adrian was in Conjuring 2 with Patrick Wilson.
Okay. Well, who is Bob Adrian? I guess that'd be my question.
Well, I don't know what he played, off the top of my head. But yeah, I saw his picture on IMDb. He's an older gentleman.
Oh, okay, he kind of looks familiar, I think.
Yeah, so I don't
Yeah,
recall what he
he
played.
plays Bill Wilkins in Conjuring 2. He's like sitting in the chair. He's like, Bill,
Yeah.
Bill, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, all I spend probably a little more time than I should. I mean, all I do is I scroll through IMDb. Right, and I'm trying to find somebody, and I'm clicking a name and scrolling through, Like I said, I went through the Terrifier movies first, and you know, I just click on an actor and see if there's something there that jumps at me, that connects to the other. Well, when I went through the Terrifiers, because I started with David Howard Thornton, and obviously, right, the next thing I thought of was, well, he was one of the killers of Scream. So I went to Scream and saw, you know, when I got to Bob Adrian, I was like, oh, look at that, he's in a Conjuring movie. I mean, I guess it's not that great a way because I don't know what he played in either. So, I mean, maybe I'm not the, you know, I'm just, you know, fucking leeching off IMDb, but so be it. So, all right, then tell me your connections, Ike.
So I guess I here's what I didn't realize. You and I have very different approaches to this, and I think this is actually a good idea that can make this a little more interesting.
Okay.
So I did this completely from memory. I didn't. I don't typically use IMDb unless I'm at a complete stoppage.
Yeah.
So, but I did this one from memory, and it took me a minute to figure this one out. I'm not gonna lie, because I don't know why. I thought to myself, I'm gonna start from Patrick Wilson's side, but I should have probably started from David Howard Thornton's side because it's.
Fewer credits, right?
Right. You're
Yeah.
casting a lot. You know, with Patrick Wilson, it's a wider net,
Yeah,
and you're trying to.
longer careers so far, right? They're at different points of their careers.
Right. So I probably should have started from the other side. I did eventually figure it out, but I said Patrick Wilson is with Lin Shaye in Insidious. Lin Shaye is in Nightmare on Elm Street, the original with Robert Englund. Robert Englund is in Natty Knox with Danielle Harris. And Harris is in Scream with David Howard Thornton.
Yeah. Very good. Very good connection. See, I'm 20 years older than you. I don't know if I could do this off memory.
But I honestly, I think that gives this a little bit of a different aspect. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
Yeah.
we have different methods of doing this, but at the same time, like, I do sometimes have to use IMDb. Sometimes if it's too like obscure, like I can't remember which one it was. But there was one where it was really obscure. I can't remember who it was though. And
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how the hell I could connect anybody from this person because I've only seen him in like one movie. But this one was a little easier because I've seen a lot of Patrick Wilson movies.
Yeah, and there was one, again, I don't remember who it was. There was one time that just like immediately kind of popped in the head. Oh, wait, I think there's this, right?
I think that was the one where you connected somebody from. What was a little it was like a girl it was like a child actor
Yeah,
at the
she was
time
briefly in, I don't
like an
remember the
Avengers
movies.
movie wasn't it
Maybe. She was just like in this one scene where she like came to a door or something.
yeah
But she was, who, oh, it was, was it Jenna Ortega?
I
It
think
was
so I
Jenna,
think
yeah,
yeah
it was Jenna Ortega, right. She was, yeah, and I can't remember what the other connection was, but it was only because at some point in time, I didn't know she was in that movie off the top of my head, like from
Right.
watching it. But at some point in time, I had read something or seen something throughout whatever, my scrollings of stuff that brought up or mentioned she had that little part in whatever it was. It was a Marvel movie, I believe, but I can't remember. Whatever it was, I just, you know, you know, that was just there. And not that I picked that up when I first watched it, but I had read something about it just in the course of other shit, scrolling the internet, right? You know, wasting time. And, yeah, so sometimes you know, sometimes they jump, sometimes they don't. You know, that's kind of the fun of it. That's why it's a game, right? It's not meant to be easy every time, and there's different approaches to get to the same thing. And we don't really have like hard rules on what you can and can't do because it's not that big a deal.
No.
It's not a big deal. It's just a fun
Just for
exercise
fun.
for conversation. So,
This isn't Stump Your Co-host, so we don't take this very seriously.
we take the stump your co-host very serious. I'm thinking that we need to develop a you know, a scream cup that goes that the winner gets to keep for a year.
Right.
So
We
they could,
should.
yeah, I think so. That the winner keeps for the year. You know, it's not, you know, that you pass between winner, right? Whoever's the year winner gets to keep it till the next year's, which of course so far it would have stayed with you for whatever, both years or whatever. But you know, like if I were to win this year, yeah, then you know, and you had the cup, it would. Then it would pass to me for a year or whatever. But so I think I'm going to develop that. I think I'm going to make a scream cup or get one made because I think we need this because It's pretty fun. And I did have I got a book of horror trivia over here that I picked up somewhere that maybe we'll have to find. So I don't know. I'm gonna read. I need to say, I think, I really think sometimes there's more we can do with the Stump Your Co-host thing.
Right.
I think sometime, we did do the live cat, or I won't say live, but it was a different little thing with on the Halloween special, right? We with the wives on there asking questions. That was kind of fun. But I'm thinking sometime we should have a like one time in the summer, like a big Stump Your Co-host event as one of our things for 1 month, and we do it, on Zoom video with the wives asking the questions, and we try to make it up, do it up game show style one time, a little more advanced, maybe a little longer as a side thing, a few more questions. I think we need a signature event for Stump Your Co-host besides just our once a month ones.
We should do like Horror Jeopardy or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. Something like that. Just a where we mix it up a little, like a Horror Jeopardy type thing, where we mix it up, do it, pick 1 month, like right in the summer sometime, where we do the game, just same concept, just a little different though. Counts for that month's entry, but we do it, a video style, a little, internet game show thing, and record it out, have a one or both wives help host and ask the questions and play the Alex Trebek and sort it out and how we can do it with the buzzers and stuff and whatnot. But do it up game show style and then put the video out there. I think that can be fun. So,
Well, I'm a whore for Jeopardy. I watch that shit all the time, so I'm in.
Jeopardy's awfully fun. So there we go. Well, there you go. You just got like a
A
behind
little
the
peek
scenes.
behind the scenes.
Yeah, a little bit seen like on a production talk there because you can't, but. So there's something. If you're a fan, I don't. I would think everybody be a fan, right? I think trivia's fun, man. Who doesn't like trivia stuff? There you go. So there's a little teaser or something that we're gonna work on. You might see here in a couple of months. I don't think it would be that hard to put together and get us going. We just got to pull it off. So there you go. To upcoming. But anyway, I don't even know what. We don't even have. We didn't even play Stump the Co-host, and somehow we started talking about it. But that's the end of Talk to Us, or no, Seven Screams of Horror. I'm sorry, forgot what segment we were in. You know what?
Figure it out here in a second.
That's the end of this whole the whole opening segment. We're gonna take a break, and I'm gonna try to get my head together, and get back focused, and get out of the game show production mode. And when we come back, we'll have the news, the birthdays, and all that fun stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, starting us off actually very strong. Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 will get 4K physical media releases by Scream Factory on August the 12th. This is super, super exciting, of course. Because I mean, hell, I can't even remember last time or any time I've ever seen these on physical media. The first one is, I feel like, pretty common to find on physical media, but two and three, or even four for that matter, are very much something you'd have to find online somewhere, I feel like. But this would be great. I'll definitely have to catch this.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows, man, I love Sleepaway Camp. Love the first one, love it, right? Love it. I am a Lisa Rose groupie and love it. But you know what? I will say I have a soft spot for two and three with the Springsteen sister in it, right? Bruce's sister, whatever her name is. I can't remember her name.
Pamela.
Pam, there you go. Are they as good? Not really. They're kind of cheesy and quirky. But like I said earlier, man, sometimes those cheesy movies, they have a charm and they're fun. You know what? I'm cool. I'm all about continuing on. And I know they've done some things, right? Return to Sleepaway Camp, where they've tried to ignore these.
Right.
And that's all fun. I like that too. I don't mind. Do whatever. Because hell, they brought Felisa Rose back for that. So I'm good. if you bring her back. But I have a soft spot for 2 and 3. But any movie like this that's, like you said, not widely out there, that, right? We get 4K releases for all the big stuff, and you hear all about it, right? So and so is getting this new remaster and some with all these new special features and whatnot. And it's nice when something that's different, not the big, not, and I'm not knocking, right? Because of course you should put the big stuff out, obviously. But it's nice when they dip down and get something that's not as mainstream, not as out there in the front. Clean it up, give it a 4K. Hopefully it'll have some, a little bit of special features. I'd love to hear some of their takes on it, looking back after so many years. Things like that. That's always fun. Scream Factory always does a lot of good shit like this. So, but I'm excited because I'm a sucker for the whole Sleepaway Camp franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, I need to go back and watch Sleepaway Camp. Like, that's like, this is a prime time to watch Sleepaway Camp. It's summertime.
That's right. It's so, camp season.
That's right. But cool. Moving on now to our next little bit of information. The first trailer and official poster have been released for Black Phone 2. This movie comes to theaters on October the 17th. So from what I can tell with this movie, this sort of acts as a prequel as well as a sequel, because it seems like they kind of explore some of the Grabber's past based on the trailer. And the Grabber is back. He is metaphorically and quite literally back from the dead in the trailer. So not actually. He's a ghost, I believe. So that's interesting. And I think this is going to be really good. I'm very excited for this movie.
Me too. We both loved Black Phone. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Once upon a time, I thought I should put down all of our rankings so I could have them handy. But I haven't done that yet. They're like our top movies for each year. So I had them like in a notepad on my phone so I could pull them up when we had these, because this comes up all the time. But I'm pretty sure whenever it came out, I think it was high in our top five. I want to say maybe top three, but anyway, we loved it. Again, the first Black Phone, reviewing the archives, go check that out and give it a listen. But this trailer looks just absolutely bananas. Looks so good. It's like they've taken everything that was kind of cool about the first one, and they've just like upped it. This looks a little crazier, a little wilder. Again, man, the character's so good. I think they're on their way if they keep this up into this becoming a very iconic horror character. And looks great. I can't wait to see it. Love me some Ethan Hawke. And I'm ready. This, based off the first one, I'm super psyched. We haven't talked about it much, but there's been trailers out there for Megan too. I'm kind of psyched about that too. Trailers, I didn't know. I'm like, how do you make another one? I'm like, I don't know, man. The trailers have got me kind of pumped for it too. Bring on the sequels. Let's do it. That's what horror's all about, right? Let's build franchises, do sequels, do 15 of those suckers. Send them to space and send them to the hood and all that. Play. Let's do everything with it. And have some fun, man. That's what horror's all about.
Give it the leprechaun treatment.
That's right. I want to see Megan in the hood. Come on. No.
I think you can make a Megan in space. I feel like that's not like large leap.
You can put Megan anywhere. Do whatever you want with. Horror. Horror's notorious for having sequels, and they're fun, right? Whether you like them or you don't, it's fun, man. I like when the properties keep going, because again, Black Phone was a great movie. Will Black Phone 2 be as good? Who knows? But that doesn't mean it can't be good in its own right, it doesn't have to be compared to the first. But again, I'm rambling, but I love it when horror movies I love sequels. Man, I like for horror movies, right? If they make sense. The horror movies are made because you can do whatever the fuck you want, because horror movies, don't make a lot of sense to begin with. So, it's not happening, right? This shit doesn't, can't all, it's not like very realistic most of the time. So, of course, you can make a sequel and do whatever and bring people back to the dead and do whatever. Who cares?
That's true. You're not wrong. I mean, these horror movie franchises, they definitely breach the realm of what should be acceptable sometimes.
Sure, do what you want, man. Of course, you want to send a leprechaun to the hood? You want to send him to space? Why not? I mean, is that really as far-fetched as the fact that you made a movie about a leprechaun to begin with? Not really. So come on. Do I like those movies? Not really. But hey, whatever. I don't care. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's got a Facebook group calling Leprechaun in the Hood, you know, as the greatest horror movie of all time. And more power to you.
Exactly. It's something for everybody is what I say.
That's right. You know what? I'll see you a Leprechaun in the Hood, and I'll raise you to a Jason Takes Manhattan. Another cheesy-ass movie that I see people say that are just horrible. I'm like, fuck you. That movie's great. I love it.
Oh, Lord.
Even if 90% of it was on a boat and not in Manhattan. Still.
or the fact that it was, you know, shot in Vancouver.
That's right. Except for like that ending thing, right, where they sent the one guy to Times Square or whatever just to get, so they could get some shots. I don't care. It was fun.
Put that fucker on a red eye.
That's right. I was good about anything, and then you put him in space. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think you went a little too far. No, it's not even the space concept. That was just Jason looked too different for me. I didn't, you know. I was the character looked okay, but not for Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, whatever. I don't know. But we're way off track here. I'm rambling. I'm on my second beer here, so I downed the first pretty good. So, you know, who knows what you people are going to hear from here on out. But what are we talking about? Black Phone 2. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
He's a little loose, a little loosey-goosey.
Uh-huh. I'm a little caffeinated.
There you go.
But I would venture to guess, again, no, we don't can't know, but I would venture Black Phone 2 will probably have a good shot making our top five. It's an interesting year for the top five. I think about that because it's like in the past, there's been, the past couple of years, there's always been a movie or two that's just, you know, right? I mean, we had a Terrifier 3. We knew that was going to be right there, right? I don't feel like this year there's all those, there's like spot-clinching movies. It's going to be a little tougher this year. And that's not a bad thing. I'm saying there's still some good movies, but I just feel like it's a little more diverse this year, which I like.
Yeah. Honestly, the only one that I've watched this year that I think is like a shoe-in for like a top five, absolutely, is Bring Her Back, which, again, that's a whole
Would
other
you
thing.
Just stop teasing it? I mean, come on. You already know I want to see it.
I'm hyping it up. I'm going to hype it up, and you're going to be like, that's all right.
I don't like it. Why did they bring her back? Why didn't they just leave her?
Right.
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. I know it's off topic. We're talking something 6 months down the road. But I think it's going to be a fun conversation when we get to that top five. It's always in the back of my head as I see these movies, and I think, well, that was pretty good, you know. But it's going to be a fun conversation. I think there's going to be a little more – we'll have to have a little more back and forth this year than we have in the past, which is fun. So, all right, move on.
All right, moving on to Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein is going to be released on Netflix in November. Now, this is pretty wild in my opinion.
It is.
Now I've heard, and again, this is, you know, speculation, that this isn't actually like a horror movie. But a lot of people are saying that like this isn't even being categorized as a horror film. Like this is more of a true to form interpretation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but then I guess Mary Shelley's Frankenstein at that time would have probably been considered horror. I don't know, but it's an interesting choice for them to release it on Netflix, which makes me think, and I could be wrong, that they couldn't get release rights to like a better company. I don't mean that the way it's going to sound, but like Netflix isn't exactly known for, you know, releasing really high value content that I'm sort of expecting from this movie. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe I'm judging it too soon, but it's an interesting choice.
It's peculiar. I mean, the movie looks, you know, it's got a great cast. All the shots and teasers and stuff that's been out so far looks great, man. It, you know, it just looks very, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Unless Netflix just decided to, hey, we want something. I don't know. I mean, or is this movie going to be like 4 hours and so they couldn't find a theatrical release, you know, because it's Del Toro. Who knows what it is? It's intriguing. I mean, my question is, I wonder, remember Del Toro had that, what was it? The Cabinet of Curiosities or whatever it was called, that little series?
Yeah, the anthology series.
Yeah, what network was that on?
Netflix.
See, I'm wondering if he doesn't have some kind of relationship deal with Netflix going on, like an Adam Sandler thing. right? Because I mean, Adam Sandler has Happy Gilmore 2 coming out, which is a big deal, but it's coming to Netflix, right?
Maybe.
I think so, because I think Adam Sandler's got that big ass deal with them to make all these movies for them. So I just wonder when he did that series, if maybe they didn't. You know, there's not some kind of agreement here with Del Toro. You know, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's intriguing. I'm still looking forward to the movie. I still want to see it. I love Frankenstein. You know, I love the book. I love the interpretations. I love seeing different people's takes on it. Supposedly, if he's telling the truth, this is going to be a very true to text telling. So I'm curious to see what he sees that as, and if you know how that comes across. It's obviously probably going to be a beautiful movie to see. I don't think there's any doubts about that, right? Visually, but is it going to be an interesting movie, or is he going to stay so true to the text that he's going to maybe, I don't know, lose the way a little bit, right? You got to be careful. It's you know there's certain parts of books that don't that can be understood in the movies that don't need to be shown. So how far is he going to go with this, right? So there's a lot of questions about this, but it's going to be interesting. So I don't know, like maybe there'll be some more come out in the future, but I guess if not, we'll find out in November.
That's what I was gonna say. We'll find out in November, one way or another. But all right, moving on to Damien Leone has revealed in Art the Clown's, oh, sorry, revealed that Art the Clown's backstory will be revealed, double revealed, in the first 15 minutes of Terrifier 4. Now, this is very interesting because for three movies, four movies if you count the other one, like the what is it called? Oh
Yeah,
shit.
whatever the anthology thing. You're like, what is that called?
Oh man, it's completely drawn a blank. But if you count that one too, we
Why
have
can't
four
I can't
movies.
remember anything today?
It's not Tales of Halloween. That's a different anthology. That's All Hallows Eve is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
So you have these four movies that definitively don't show anything about his
Don't know
backstory
anything.
at all. I mean, there's speculation, right? Right. I mean, people have guessed that, Terrifier 1, Art the Clown is still human. And that at the end of the movie he kills himself and then becomes the entity, whatever this demon is, to continue to wreak havoc. So that's a lot of people's theories that like he's just a killer in the first one, and then in subsequent he's a demon. But again, it's fan theory, it's speculation. So I'll be very curious to see what actual lore he is given in this movie for sure.
Yeah, and how far they go with it, right? I mean, there, you know, right? There's talks, and it makes sense, right? That he killed, right? There's the little girl that got killed at the circus that they've talked about. That you know
Yeah.
that he killed her. That perhaps she's the little pale girl, right? And now he's art, and this is that, whatever it might be. It's like, how far are they going to go with it, though, right? Are we going to, you know, is Art the Clown still going? Is he when we see this? Is he going to be Art the Clown? Or are we going to see Art the Clown? You know, or you know, like a David Howard without makeup. Are we going to see something like that, or will he still? You know, I mean, if it happens at the circus, will he still be a clown? I mean, who knows what's going to happen, right? It's so intriguing, and the fact that it's wild that they're doing it in the first 15 minutes. I mean, because that just means they're getting right down to it. So, what's happening the rest of the movie? I mean, there's so many questions about.
There is.
Going into right with Jonathan, what's Jonathan? Is Jonathan truly dead? Is you know, will he become some form of a demon or an entity? If he is dead, you know, lots of people believe he's not really dead. Some people, you know, say that. I mean, I don't think he's done, right? I think he'll appear in some fashion. You know, what's up with their dad, Sienna and Jonathan's dad? The fact that he was drawing these things, what's his connection to all this, right? People have speculated Art's their dad. I don't know, but what's the connection? Why is the dad? Why did he have sketches of this shit, and was drawing some of the, you know, in the one? There's so many questions. That if this is right, if they hear the talk, he's going to get some backstory. There's been talk that four is going to kind of wrap up this whole arc. You know, it kind of. Maybe put a pause on it. If they do anything further, it'll be something different, right? So, you know, in a different. So there's, I feel like there's going to be a lot in this movie. And it feels like honestly, it feels like it's like, right? It really feels like it's all over the place, right? How are they going to, But, you know, Damien Leone says, hey, you know, trust me. Apparently all this, he's had this all planned out. He knows where he's going with things. He's got a vision. The fucking movies he's done so far has been off the chart. So you know what? I trust him for four, and I can't wait to see how he answers some of these questions. It's gonna be cool. And how does he up the ante on the kills again? Right? Every movie you gotta up it, right? There's gonna be one kill that ups it a little. What's he gonna do? And this one, what will it be?
I'm just waiting for the moment where he's like, "All right, guys, we killed an actual person and put it in
Who
the movie. This is a
knows, man?
snuff film." I'm
That's right.
kidding.
But I'm super excited. Cannot wait.
Same. I think it'll be good. So we'll have to wait to hear about that, because that'll probably not be until at the earliest 2026, maybe even
That's right.
2027. So we'll see.
That's right. Everybody knows that we're sluts for Art the Clown and Terrifier, so that's no surprise or secret, so.
Nope, not at all. But all right, moving on now to another series that we talk about a lot, Scream 7, writer
A
Gary.
lot.
Oh man, but Guy Busick, the writer, has given a few teases about the movie. It takes place approximately 2 years after Scream 6, and he says there is a really cool reason why the film became a Sydney story. He also said that the movie is not in New York, and that Gale Weathers will be the one to bring Chad and Mindy Meeks Martin to the new location. That makes sense. All of this tracks, and I'm glad that they're acknowledging the transfer of focus from the Carpenter sisters to the legacy cast. So, I'm glad that they're making the movie with that in mind. You know, they could have very easily just been like, you know, fuck it, we'll just do whatever we want. You know, people are going to buy it. People are going to pay to see a Scream movie anyway. So they could have realistically done what they wanted. So I'm glad that they are being mindful and conscious of basically what's happened so far, realistically.
Yeah, and he also did say, talking about why it becomes a Sydney story, that before she signed on, I believe, Neve Campbell, they showed her the script. She read that part because she wanted to make sure, right, that hey, this was before she agreed to do it, that this was a decent story, a good, you know, decent film to make. Then when she read it and she heard about the why it shifts back to Sydney, and she's like, yeah, that makes sense. That I like that. That's good. And that's one of these things that sealed the deal with her coming back, was that she was completely on board with the reasoning and their transition back to her. So that's intriguing. Again, man, we like the Scream movies, varying degrees. We've talked about this. It's, you know, some are better than others. That's okay. They're all fun in different ways. I one of the things that I've always loved about Scream is the continuity, and so I'm glad that they're maintaining that, right? We're going to the seventh movie, and from one to seven, somehow it all ties, right? It's one big story somehow, and I like that. I love it. We still don't know how some of these characters are returning. There's lots of them that have come up, right? You know, Dewey and Stu and whatever. How are they coming back into it? What's going on? It's going to be crazy. But again, it's I'm looking forward to it. It's another movie it's going to be fun to see. And I know, you know, people have varying opinions on, you know, the Carpenter sisters not being there. Would I like to see them do another? Sure, but whatever. It is what it is. You know, I still want to see a new Scream movie. I'm glad that if they're not in it, they got Neve Campbell back, right? At least have that. I mean, you know, I have faith. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm excited. Let's, you know, again, there's some great movies that we got to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. We're gonna move on now to our last little bit of news, which is casting continues for the Friday the 13th TV series Crystal Lake. They have confirmed that William Catlett, who is an Abigail, has signed on. I'm about to look up who William Catlett is, but I'm not gonna in any way, shape, or form be upset about any kind of casting for this. But it looks like he is the fella who played Rickles and Abigail, which is one of the people. Yeah, he seems familiar. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
But in any case, go ahead.
they also put a teaser out there of a didn't really show a lot, but it showed that they are constructing whatever you want to call it, the living space quarters, whatever, where Mrs. Voorhees, what's her first name, Pamela,
Yeah.
where Pamela Voorhees lives. So whatever that is, right? I mean, I'm assuming it's right. There's some kind of cabiny type remote thing by the lake, right? It's got to be, one would think. So, but they did show a tease that they are in the process of constructing that in their pre-production stuff. So that's exciting. It's good to see that once again this moving forward and that we're going to get this.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully we'll get more news because, like we always say, the more the merrier as it comes to news specifically about Crystal Lake. So that
That's
way we
right.
know it's not stuck in developmental hell. So
That's right. We're looking
moving
at you,
on.
Nightmare on Elm Street. What the
Right.
hell, man? Come on.
Oh, Lord. So anyways, so upcoming birthdays, we have some good ones. And
Yeah.
it's not on here, but I gotta say it. I gotta say it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, this is a special one. So as of release, June 5th,
They
we wish a
released,
very
yeah.
happy day of release. We wish a very happy birthday to one of the wives, my wife specifically, Kayla.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot to put it in there.
No, it's all good. I have to remember because if I don't, I'm pretty sure she
Yeah,
might kill me.
that's right. Sleeping on the couch. Yeah, I mean, come on. The wives we've talked about, right? They support us. This is taking time. It takes time for us to do this, to put the notes together, to keep up on social. There's an investment in time in this, and for them to be able to give us the right to do that, that we enjoy it, and it's an outlet for us, and be supportive of that. That means a lot, right? It's important. And not only though are they supportive, but they help. I mean, they contribute, right? They do the wise rebuttal, right? And Kayla helps with the seven screams of horror, and Monica helps with the two truths and an AI, and they're always there for us to bounce ideas off of, and give us feedback, and help with things, right? There are sounding boards in those moments when we first watch the movie, right? Because typically they're both there with each of us, stuff like that, right? They're very. While they may not be on air all the time, they're very, very crucial parts of the show and very important. So, yes, absolutely. Happy birthday, Kayla.
Absolutely. All right. So now to the other birthdays for this week. We have not as many as last week. Or was last week? Yeah, I think last week was the one that had a lot of birthdays.
But these are big
But
ones, though. These are good ones.
these are good ones. So starting us off strong, June 6th, 1947, Robert Englund, known for his roles, many roles, of course, but Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger being probably his biggest.
I would say so.
I don't think Dave and I have to say it too much, but we both love Fred Krueger and we both love Robert Englund.
I do. I love Robert. I mean, he's such a cool guy, right? I watched the Robert Englund documentary. I've seen him, stuff online with him at panels. He's just such a cool dude, man. He's great for him to embrace his character and do it all. And this guy's a hell of an actor, right? He's a theatrically trained. And for him to embrace a character like this and really do it, I mean, no one else could have pulled it off like he did. He was perfect in it. I mean, without him, Nightmare on Elm Street would not have become the phenomenon it was. It's just
No.
right guy to play that character. You had to have him. But he's did some other cool stuff, right? I mean, whatever these different things. But I always remember, he had a cameo, the one bit in Supernatural for one episode. It was great. It was funny to see him pop up. Play Dr. Robert, and
Yep.
it's just great. When these guys pop up and things like this. And shows and things. It's always cool to see them out there in other things. But I mean, phenomenal career, unbelievable career for Robert Englund. I mean, good Lord, just the Nightmare on Elm Street alone. I mean, great that he's got the make, but he has been, look how much he's been merchandised. I mean, who else? He plays what I will always say is one of the top three iconic characters in horror history. I mean. I don't know. It's hard to argue that it's not Jason, Freddy, Myers. I mean, come on. I mean, there's others that are close, maybe. But as far as mainstream pop culture, I mean, everybody knows who Freddy Krueger is. Even if you don't watch the movies, you know who Freddy Krueger is. So
Oh, absolutely.
it's phenomenal. I mean, you're talking next level with this, right? It's not just a horror thing. Robert Englund has crossed over into the pop culture consciousness of the world. And it'll always be there, right? I mean, it'll always be a thing. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. But in any case, happy birthday, Roberto. And moving on now to June 7th, 1969, Kim Rhodes, known for her role, of course, in Supernatural. She's been in a ton of other stuff. You know, she was in Disney.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
That's right. But yeah, you know, Kim Rhodes, you know, I feel like she really sort of hit a stride with Supernatural. I feel like that's I more now see her as part of Supernatural than I do anything else. But of course, definitely. She played, you know, Sheriff Jody. And yeah, I love it. Love seeing her in that show.
I do too. She's great. I think she was also on a soap opera for a while, because I've seen she does these great videos on social media. I don't know what she puts, maybe probably Instagram. She has done these videos where she, it's like all her three biggest characters like interacting and talking to each other. So there's like Jody Mills, there's the character off Sweet Life, and then like whatever she played on, I think on the soap opera.
It's Another World is the soap opera.
Yeah, whatever. That's like those three characters interacting. And it's so hilarious because it's literally, you know, clips of her. You know, she's recording herself. She's put it together. But playing the, you know, going back into these three characters and playing them. Doing her hair different so that it kind of, it's just, it's fun to watch, to check out. So, and it just, again, it shows how talented she is. And she's wonderful, right? She does all these conventions for Supernatural and everything else. Very giving and interactive with the fans. You know, just, she's a very positive, supporting person, for all the right reasons. She's a great person.
Yeah, absolutely. But happy birthday to you, Kim. Moving on to another Supernatural alum, June 10th, 1978, DJ Qualls. DJ Qualls, of course, is known for, I mean, Supernatural. I think he was in that movie, The New Guy. He was also in another show about zombies. Z-Nation.
Z-Nation, yeah. Yeah, he's done a lot of movies and stuff. And he's great, man. I was at a panel of his. He's so damn funny. He literally, at some of these panels, he has a backpack, right, that he takes with him when he travels, that stays on. That's his carry-on bag, right, which got, you know, all the stuff you have to make sure you don't lose. But as he says, right, when you travel a lot and you have a bag like that, it accumulates stuff, right? So when he's at these panels, he'll have that. He'll open up his backpack and pull stuff out that you know, he doesn't need, that he's just accumulated, and he signs it and gives it away with different things in the conventions to the people in the crowd for different things. Like there's one, he had like a map of Rome when he was in Rome, and he signed it and gave it, just stuff like that, right? That he's like, I don't need this, I've just accumulated it over. But he's hilarious. He's so funny. I got to ask him a question. I asked him what it was like to hug Jensen Ackles. And he was all saying it's like hugging a brick house because he's so solid, and stuff like that. Again, on a side note, he played a werewolf for part of Supernatural, and Monica. And Monica got that. One of us got to ask this Jensen Ackles. I think it was me, but the other guy got to ask what it was like having the makeup and stuff on and the teeth and all. And he told a great story about having to go to the bathroom with the werewolf claws on. And how there were some bad results, and then he had to have some PAs and stuff help him. It was interesting. It was pretty funny, but great guy. Of course, super happy, right? He's now engaged to I'm shooting a blank on his name. Benny. What's the Benny guy's name from Supernatural?
Why can't
I think of his name? Anyway, that's
Benny. That's his name. Okay.
It's so stupid of me that I can't remember what his name is.
It'll pop to me as soon as I Ty Olson.
Yeah, of course. He's engaged to Ty Olson, which is, you know, so good. It's like a werepire, right? Werewolf and a vampire getting together. But I'm super happy. You know, DJ Qualls is hilarious. I can tell so many stories about things I see. Just go out and Google some of his conventions, some of the stories he tells, particularly about Super. Just hilarious. I can talk for hours about this shit, but I won't.
For sure. But yeah, he's great. Check him out, Supernatural, any of the stuff that he does. But moving on now to June 11th, 1945, we have Adrienne Barbeau, known for her role in The Fog. Creepshow and other stuff as well, but I definitely think those are probably they're more
Yeah, she was
other
in,
than maybe like Escape from New York City, right? Or from New York.
Yeah, Swamp Thing. She was in Swamp Thing. Yeah, she did some of those early, right? Because she was, I mean, you know, also she was married to John Carpenter for a few years. So
Right.
that's why she, you know, she did some of the, I'm not saying, you know, whatever, The Fog was his movie, but he cast her or whatever. But, you know, she's great. She's a horror icon. You know, she's cool. She, I mean, that's, those are some great things on your, you know, some great credits on your list there. But, yeah, she's all those movies are fun watches, great watches. And
Absolutely.
she's cool.
Yeah, I was actually looking at her IMDb. She was also in she did a voice or she did extra voices in the Spider-Man video game.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's there you go. But very good. Happy birthday to Adrian. And we're gonna move on now to our last birthday, which is June 11, 1969. Peter Dinklage, known for his roles in Game of Thrones and Toxic Avenger, as well as many, many, many other things. You're an angry elf, aren't you?
Probably wouldn't have made the list if it wasn't for the upcoming Toxic Avenger, right? Because
true.
a lot of his stuff is not necessarily horror related. I mean, I don't know, maybe he's done some, but his biggest stuff's not really horror. So, welcome to the horror world, Peter Dinklage. I'm excited to see you, Toxic Avenger. Cannot wait.
Yeah, absolutely. But
he's great. Oh, yeah, man, fucking an elf. That was hilarious. That whole scene.
Well, I was going to say, we'll have to see how Toxic Avenger is and see if he gets to remain in the echelons of horror legends.
That
But
movie's
we'll
got
see.
so many great people in it.
It
It's
does.
wild. I can't wait, man, to have a fun property like that with that big account. It's gonna be a blast. Unrated. It's gonna be unrated, man. It's good. Bring it on. You know, we talked about, what is it, body melt? What is it? It's called body melt horror or whatever.
The melt genre or
Melt
whatever,
genre.
body
I mean,
horror.
This might be the echelon, the peak of that genre here, I think. I'm hoping. I'm. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. But good stuff. Moving on now to our upcoming movie anniversaries. Starting us off on June 5th, 2015, we have Insidious Chapter 3. Insidious Chapter 3 is not the, you know, the ultimate chapter of the Insidious franchise, but it is one of them. It's
It's
a
a
decent
chapter.
movie. It's a chapter. It's a decent one. It's not the worst. It's just I prefer all the other ones more. So take that with what you will.
All right.
But
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of details of it. Did we do it? Insidious was the one we did. Was Insidious the one we did
we did like
franchise
a
show
series review type thing.
When Insidious Red Door came out, right?
Yeah, and I can't remember where this landed.
Yeah, I don't know. I was confused. I didn't know if we did it on Insidious or Conjuring, which we did. And I think it was Insidious though, right? Because I think we did it when we were getting ready, before we were getting ready to review Red Door, right? I believe. So
I
anyway,
think so.
check the archives. I think we didn't. We should be better prepared. I apologize. I think we did an Insidious franchise episode. Yeah, I don't think this was one of our favorites, but again, you know, even some franchises, even the ones that aren't the greatest, something's got to be the worst of the franchise, no matter how good they all are. If you're going to rank them, something's got to be the worst. So they're all fun.
True, true, true. But we're gonna move on now to June 7th, 2013, The Purge. This is another one of Ethan Hawke's, speaking of, you know, Black Phone and, you know, all of that as well. But yeah, I mean, The Purge is fantastic. I think we've talked about The Purge a lot. I don't know if we've ever reviewed The Purge movies, because I don't think a new Purge movie's come out in a while.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know, but I love the Purge movie. I think it's a great concept. And somehow, even with the sequels, they've made, you know, they may not all be the greatest again, but they've done some things to kind of keep it a little different, mix it up a little. So, but the first one's just absolutely just wonderful. Great movie. Just a fantastic, great concept. Just everything works for it. It's a great movie.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Love The Purge. June 8th, 1984, of course. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters, an icon, a classic. It spawned a bunch of sequels and remakes and such. So This is the OG, of course, from 84.
That's right, the best. I like different ones better, but you're never gonna top the first. I'm sorry. Is great, perfect, great movie, great cast, great. Just sorry, it's never gonna get as good.
Absolutely. So, who are you going to call? Somebody else. I'm kidding. Moving on to June 8th, 1984, the same time. Damn, I always forget that these came out at the same
I
time.
know. What a day, man. Go. That's a double
But
feature to see.
it really is. So you had Ghostbusters, and then you had Gremlins.
Wild.
Gremlins is fantastic. A Christmas movie being released in June of all
Right.
times, especially against Ghostbusters, which
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know who marketed the Gremlins movie, but that was probably a poor choice. I mean,
That
you'd think that the
still did great.
go ahead.
Still
I
did
was like,
great.
sure, still did good, but in any case, we love Gremlins. We've talked about
That's
Gremlins
right.
before. It's so good.
That's right. We do have an episode where we talked. I mean, there's only two Gremlins movies, right? One and two. We did talk about those two when we were getting ready to talk about that animated series. That's out there. We did have a movie, an episode where we talked about the two, but God, the first movie again. It's so great. It's just a perfect movie. I mean, it really is. It's so fun. It's just everything you want in a movie. And I know some people might, is it a horror movie? I don't know, man. As a kid, it scared the shit out of me. When those fucking when the you know the Mogwai became the Gremlins with the water and shit, and those little things, they scared the shit out of me as a kid. They're creepy for a child. So fuck yeah, it's a horror movie.
Absolutely. I think it is too. The gremlins are objectively weird looking and very spooky, so
Yeah, and evil, man. They're mean little sons
yeah.
of bitches.
They certainly are. But good shit.
And the first movie is not as goofy as the
Gremlins
second, right? So it's not it's scarier,
Oh
right? The
no.
second
The
was
second one
so
kicked up
damn
the
goofy.
camp to
It
a
did.
10.
It did, right? It doesn't feel as good, but the first one definitely to me has a creepy ass horror movie feel. It does. It's scary. Yes, it's got some comedy to it and whatever, but I'm telling you, those things are so scary. It's a
Absolutely.
creature film, a creature horror movie.
That's right. Creature feature. But good shit. Good shit. Ghostbusters and Gremlins. And we're gonna move
Right.
on now to another June 8th, but 2018, Hereditary. Hereditary is one of Ari Aster's films where he, decides to do some really weird shit and scary at the same time.
That's right.
Hereditary is good. It's a good 1-2 with that and his other one, which has Florence Pugh in it. I can never remember. Oh, Midsommar. But Ari Aster's great. I love Hereditary. I've only seen it the one time. I've yet to go back and watch it. I need to at some point.
Yeah, me too. It's scary. Again, these are those kind of movies though, right? You see them, they're good. Yeah, but like I said, we always talk about rewatch value, and I'm not saying it doesn't have it, but it's like, I don't know, for some reason, it's one of those movies that never, like, if I want to rewatch them, it never pops up into mind. I never think of it. I don't know. I need to keep a list because there's a lot of movies like that you forget about that you really should go back and watch a second time. This would definitely be
Yeah,
on it for me. It's a good, it's
absolutely.
just, it's a good movie. I think it warrants, it definitely warrants a second watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just honestly, for the longest time, the movie was just so kind of like had that disturbing factor to it that I didn't really want to rewatch it. But as the years have passed, I've wanted to go back and revisit it because there's some things that you miss on that initial viewing, So, but yeah, anywho, moving on to June 9th. Jumping way back, 1978, Damien, Omen 2. I think this is probably one of the earlier examples of horror franchises spawning sequels and remakes and things of that nature. I don't know the content of the Omen 2 because I've never seen it, but I have seen the original. So I don't know, Dave. Can you speak to the Omen 2's quality?
It's good. I actually think I you know this to me this is a little bit of a hot take. I think overall the Omen franchise, the older movie, I think overall the franchise is pretty damn good. Because it follows Damien along, right? I mean, this one's he's kind of a tween, that hitting puberty, he's starting to realize what he is and his powers. He's with his I think he lives with his aunt and uncle, I think in it. It's such a memory, right? And there's other it. It goes on. There's one where I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering right, what's his name? What's the guy in Jurassic? Is it Sam Elliott that in Jurassic Park that plays Dr. Grant? Is that his name? Yeah,
I
he's
think
in
so, yeah.
one where he plays Damien like as an adult, and I believe he's like, I honestly believe he's like running for president or something like that. So
Okay.
it's just kind of cool to me that the franchise kind of follows his life. I don't know. I really think the Omen franchise as a whole is underappreciated. I really, really do. Because I think they're all fun, and they each one they do something different, right? They don't just try to ride on the coattails of the first one, because of course the first one's scary. It's creepy. It's a good movie, but I think the others are good. I really think it's pretty strong as a franchise. At least I think the first three. I don't know what happens after that. I don't know if I've seen them past that. Whichever one the president was, Sam Elliott. I don't know if that's three or what. But anyway, I know at some point, I think it spawns off it a little bit, does a lot. So I don't know. I don't know how many is in the franchise. But these early movies, I think, are pretty good. I like them.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll have to go and watch this because I've gone through and watched worse sequels, you know.
Well, there's technically six movies, counting 2006, I guess, was there an Omen remake, and then
Yeah.
the first Omen, which just came out. So, yeah. So, but I'm talking before they got to the remake, right? There's like five movies, and I think they're pretty damn good.
Gotcha. I'll have to check it out. Like I said, I've seen worse, obviously. I've watched the Howlings movies, so you know. I assume that it can't be worse than those. But
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're fun. I like them again. I think because I really think it's they try different stuff. I just whatever. Maybe people will disagree with me. It's my hot take. I'll probably put it out there on social media. Let's see what people think. I think the Omen franchise is underappreciated as a franchise. There you go. I'm saying it. I'm dying on that hill. So be it.
there you go. But all right, moving on to our last anniversary because we are, man, this entire section here has been
I know it.
a doozy. June 10th, 2016, we have The Conjuring 2. I like how we had a lot of Patrick Wilson talk today. I'm surprised it wasn't his birthday. The
By the way,
Conjuring
I
2,
was wrong. The actor Sam Neill, not
Sam Neill.
the
Sam
other guy.
Elliott, he's the
He's the
from
fucking,
Yellowstone, isn't he?
yeah, he's the fucking mustache guy. I knew it didn't sound right. My bad.
Close enough.
I like
I
Sam Neill,
kid.
man. I love Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So I can't think of anything else he's been in off the top of my head. I'm sure I've seen him in other things, but speaking on The Conjuring 2, though, Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, the whole gang, great movie. Very excited for the next one.
The whole gang. I love it.
The
It's
whole
like
gang.
they're like the Scooby Bunch.
That's right. They're the whole. I mean, they're basically like Scooby-Doo, but like
Sure.
scarier.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out which one Sam Neill was in the Omen, if I'm right. I'm sorry. I'm still on the Omen shit. Oh, there it is. The Final Conflict. He was in it. Yeah, he was the now adult Antichrist plots to eliminate his future divine opponents while a cabal of monks plan to stop him.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I think though he's some kind of, I maybe I'm wrong about the president thing. I thought he was in some kind of office. Anyway, yes, Conjuring, love it. Those are fun movies. We just was it just last episode we talked about the was it the first trailer came out for the next one? What was it?
Yeah,
Last Rite? Last Rites, is that what it's called?
last rights. Yeah, it came out like last time we recorded, I
Yeah,
believe.
just came out. Looked really good. It was really a good setup for it. Got me excited. So yeah, I'm curious, right? That they're saying this is going to wrap up the main Conjuring storyline with these two in it. Of course, there'll still be movies within the universe, they've said, and different things. But so yeah, I'm curious to see what they do with it. Yeah, we've got some good movies to look forward to.
There you go. But all right, that does it for our movie anniversaries. We're going to move on now to our one upcoming release. Bleeding is coming to Screambox on June 10th. It is described as, in a world where vampire blood is harvested as a drug, two desperate teenagers on the run from a vicious dealer break into an empty house and find a sleeping girl locked inside. We will be reviewing this movie next episode.
Sure.
It sounds interesting, you know what I mean? Selling
Yeah.
vampire blood on the street like a drug, slinging it, sound like a fun time to
Sure.
me.
Yeah. I like the premise. I mean, I don't know what the sleeping girl's got to do with anything. How they just do it. I'm wondering if she's not a damn vampire. But anyway, I don't know. It's just weird that in that description, it's like, oh, they break into a house with a sleeping girl locked inside. Like, huh, what's that mean? But yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I like the interesting idea of harvesting vampire blood as a drug. You know, it's kind of a unique take, right? It's kind of like a True Blood, right? Where it's like it's just this. Is True Blood the one I'm thinking of? Not True Blood. Is it True Blood where they have vampires? Everybody knows there's vampires. And
Yeah, I think so.
is that the right one? That's not the one with the two brothers, the Stefusi guys, right? That's not that one.
No, that's Vampire Diaries.
There you go. I get those confused. I've not really watched either that much. But anyway, I like that where it's kind of this unique take, right? It's where, hey, people know they're there. It's just a part of life, right? You, whatever. I guess you avoid them like you do wild bears. I don't know. But, yeah, it seems kind of fun, but we'll see. Next week, y'all will know what we think.
True. All right. So that was a long-winded one, but I think that does it for our news, birthdays, upcoming releases, and anniversaries.
Yeah,
We're going to take a
I'm a
quick.
little rambly. I'm sorry, it's the beer.
Happens. But we're going to take a small little break. And when we come back, we will be having our official review of Piglet. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Okay, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. We are reviewing the movie Piglet, a public domain horror that I believe, from what I'm gathering, is not part of the Pooniverse, but it feels like it should be. It's very peculiar to me. Ike, while I'm giving a little backstory, see what you see on that. See if you can verify that it's not part of this for me. The movie's
Yeah.
written by Harry Boxley, directed by Andrea Catanella. Excuse me, Catanella. Starring Alexander Butler, Lawrence Therick, and others. And again, this basically is the telling of Piglet. I'm not, we won't give away spoilers, what it is, how it is, whatever else. But there's clearly what made me threw me off, I think, is in this movie, there's clearly a backstory, right? They talk about things that have happened in the past that have caused some of these events. That's what made me feel like it's very weird if this is just his own little standalone movie. So there's nothing out there that talks about this backstory, but from everything I'm gathering and reading, they said this is not by those people that did the Pooniverse movies, the Blood and Honeys and such. I don't know. I even thought Piglet looked a lot like that. The same. It was very confusing to me. Maybe that. I think that's the one downfall of these common public domain. Excuse me, public domain horror movies. Is that it does get confusing on who's doing what and which movies tie to what because we're getting so many different versions of these things. It does get a little muddled sometimes. Ike, have you come across anything?
I don't think it is related to the
Yeah, I don't
Pooniverse.
think so either. Which
Yeah.
again, it's peculiar. But anyway, and here's the thing. The one thing that kind of makes me think, yeah, it's probably not, is I didn't think this movie was nearly as strong as some of the other movies that have gone this public domain. I don't know. This movie, it was just kind of peculiar to me. I don't feel like it was very smooth, that it flowed very well. Yeah, it had some decent kills, whatever else. But it was very peculiar, and it kind of, there were times to me where it had a little Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibe flavor to me, with some scenes that kind of, especially. Oh, okay, I guess I should more like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. It was just weird, and I don't know. I wasn't a big fan. I just thought this movie. I love the public domain stuff, but this movie just didn't, it didn't hit it for me. It was very slow. I thought it didn't, it just wasn't flowing for me. And then it just, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It was just, it didn't feel like it ended right, or it was just peculiar. The whole thing felt odd the way it was done. I wanted to like it. I really, really did. But it kind of makes sense that it's not part of the other, because I just don't feel like the story was developed and flowed the right way. I gotta say, I'm not a big fan of Piglet. It just didn't do it for me. So, Ike, what are you thinking?
Yeah, here's my issue with Piglet. It clearly is trying to run on the coats or the curtails of like what Winnie the Pooh has done.
The Blood
You
Honey.
know, it, the Blood and Honey. You know, in this, and if I remember correctly, in the Winnie the Pooh movies, they're actual like animal. They're like animal human hybrids.
Yeah, and that's, I wasn't going to give that away, but this one's, yeah, it's different than this one.
It
If
is different in this one, which is my major thing.
yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to give spoilers, so don't say detail. Did they ever explain why?
Kind of.
Okay, well, see, I didn't catch anything. I didn't catch any reason. I don't know, it was weird to me. Again, it felt like there was supposed to be movies before this that set this up, because they were talking about things, but there were no movies there. It was weird. It's like we were supposed to know something. It felt off to me right from the get-go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. But it did. It really did, because I don't know. There was something about it. It just felt like it was missing some pretty crucial context. The movie itself, and like I'm not gonna say I'm not a fan of like bad like effects and stuff like that, because I am. But like some of the effects in this were just, they seemed kind of sloppy, man.
They did.
There was one specifically where like, I don't want to say it was at the beginning of the movie, but somebody was getting their head stepped on, and it just did not feel right. There's some other stuff too that they did that was like, whatever. But I don't know. It just felt like a really just like a real cheap shot at trying to get some glory from the Piglet IP. And here's the thing, that coming from me. It may sound like hypocritical because, oh, that's what all these things are doing, but some of these things are doing these, shots at public IPs, making these movies, and they're doing good jobs at them, right? Like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, it is good, whereas this one is a poor attempt at taking some of that notoriety. It
Absolutely.
just,
What you're saying is what I agree with. This movie to me does not feel like it is making a horror attempt at the Winnie the Pooh public domain stuff. This movie feels like it's taking an attempt at making a Piglet movie on the backs of the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. Not the original Winnie the Pooh product. It feels like it is trying. To me, it almost feels like it was purposely meant to be hazy, that this was not part of a spinoff of Blood and Honey. I feel like they wanted. I don't know. It's weird. I don't want to say there was nefarious intentions, but it's like, I don't know. This felt like it spawned off of Blood and Honey. Not that it spawned off of the original public domain property, the cute Winnie the Pooh or whatever, or the books, which is what made this different than a lot of, right? There's been Steamboat Willie movies that we didn't care for, but they all felt like they were trying to make their attempt at doing a horror telling of Steamboat Willie. There's a bunch of them, but none of them feel like they were piggybacking off each other. They were just all doing different takes on the same material. This didn't feel that way. This didn't feel
No.
like it was coming from the someplace as Blood and Honey. It felt like it was coming off of Blood and Honey.
It did. It didn't feel like it was connected, but it felt like they were trying to connect it,
That's what I'm
or
saying.
that
It
they it,
felt
it
like they
felt like
made you want to feel like this was a spin-off of that movie.
it honestly kind of felt like I wrote a paper and somebody else like kind of like watched me write the paper, and they presented their paper, which was mostly what my paper was, but like slightly different to avoid plagiarism.
And this I hate to I hate to be negative because we try to be positive on here. But
Right.
I have to be honest and truthful. I felt like the story for Piglet was just not well written. It was not well developed. I just don't I don't I feel like they needed to try to do more with it. The acting was okay, right? The production look was okay for the most part, the camera work. The effects, right? There was parts where we've talked in the past, if you don't have the money, use some illusion, right? It's okay to insinuate something and let the reader fill in the blanks in their mind. So if you don't have the budget money to do everything, well, you can do a few kills with smoke and mirrors and let the like the one where that you mentioned with the head, right? You can film it right up to the point. People know what's happening, but don't show the end result and let the people in their mind visualize it the way they want. If you don't have the money to pull it off. And I just don't feel
Right.
like they did that, right? They didn't use the smoke and mirrors, some trickery to hide their weaknesses. Everything was out there. And again, I hate to be that negative, but it's like this, I mean, I can't help it. This is what the movie is to me. And it does irk me. And again, it irks me so because it irks me so much that it does feel like they're trying to blur the line between their movie and Blood and Honey. If people don't keep up on this and don't follow it, I swear they would think this was a spin-off movie of that. The poster looks similar. I still think I haven't really dug into it and looked. From my memory, I think Piglet looks a lot like he did in Blood and Honey.
He does. He looks oddly similar. There are a lot of similarities between the two, and I mean, at this point, you can't really scream like any sort of like infringement because you're already working off of a
Yeah, I
public
mean,
domain IP. So it would be very hard for them to like say that, oh, they stole my idea, because in reality, they could then argue that, oh, it's just a, it's a, you know, it's an IP, it's a, you know, it's this. But I agree. I do feel like we're bordering on like they basically stole the entire premise and concept of Blood and Honey and attempted to make their own twist of it. But at the same time, I can't prove that. This is not,
Sure.
you know,
No.
don't sue me. I'm not saying that they did anything wrong. I'm saying that this is what it appears to be, you know. So don't sue me. This isn't what it's not libel. It's
It's not slander.
it's not slander.
But we spoke of this with the Steamboat Willie, right? So there were people, a couple of those movies, all they tried to do was to race something out to be the first to cash in on it being public domain, and they didn't make a very good film. This movie didn't feel like they really had a vision or whatever. To me, as a viewer, it just felt like a movie that they wanted to put out there to take advantage of the fact that this is kind of a popular thing right now, and the Blood and Honey movies have done really well. So let's do a little something off of it, related to it, and see what we can do. Not because we want to do it, but because it's the thing to do. Maybe I'm wrong again. Like I said, I don't know. I'm just saying this is what it feels like to me as a viewer. And I don't know. All that aside, wasn't that impressed. I was disappointed, and it makes me even doubly sad because, like I said, I really like public domain stuff. I was really looking forward to seeing this because even though I knew it wasn't part of the Pooniverse, I still thought, oh, this will probably still be fun, right? A movie, based on Piglet, right? Because I really thought, oh, they're based it on Piglet, so that's what they're doing to make it unique to them, right? To make it different. And then it didn't feel different. It was very peculiar. So I don't know. That's my take on it. Not a fan. I would love to see what other people think. I know there are lots of people out there who, like us, love the public domain horror. I would love to hear what they think of Piglet and how it fits into all some of these movies that are fun to watch and enjoyable. And this one, I don't know, it just didn't have the right feel to me. So, all right, and man, ranking it's going to be hard.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's I don't know. I don't know how low I want to go on this because, again, we've
How
watched
low
movies.
do you go?
That's right. We've watched movies that are clearly poorly produced. All right. And clearly, and I'm not putting them down, I'm not saying that, but clearly have a very low production standard. This movie didn't have a low production standard. It looked professional. So it's like you can't knock it for stuff like that. I just feel like it was weak as a movie. And it's hard to rate something. I don't know. It's hard to rate it that. So I'm not gonna be too. I think I'm just gonna give us a 2 out of 5. Part of me wanted to go to 1.5, but I just don't know because again, this it's not like the movie was poorly made. It didn't look professional or any of that. It just wasn't a very strong story. It wasn't a very strong delivery.
Yeah.
But unlike most of the other public domain movies, though, I don't think I'd ever, I don't think I'd really rewatch this. All the others, it's like, I was scrolling through the other day and thought, man, I might watch Popeye the Slayer Man again. That was kind of a fun movie. And, Blood and Honey too. Sometimes I think, oh man, that was a fun movie. I wouldn't mind watching that again. I don't think I'll ever say, oh, I'd like to watch Piglet again. I'm sorry. It doesn't have a rewatch value for me. So, but I think I don't know. I'm feeling like it's generous, honestly, in my heart. I don't know. I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 5. That's where I'm gonna stand on it.
Yeah, I honestly I don't want to rate it lower simply for the matter that I don't know if I've ever rated a movie a 1 or a 1.5.
Well, we I don't know what we did with like Thanksgiving and shit like that.
I think I still gave that like a 2. I think I even gave Cannibal Cabin a 2.
Well, see, hell, then you can't give this below a 2 if you're giving that shit. I
I
mean,
n no I have to again I never remember I remember some of the ones we do, but I can't remember like the bad ones for some reason. But yeah, I think I'd have to go with the 2 on this one too, because simply speaking, it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. It was palatable. It was watchable. I didn't have to turn the movie off. I would imagine like a 1, I would have to turn the movie off because I'm like, what the fuck is this? So, the movie was watchable. It had its things that could have been improved. I think that the production was perhaps a little rushed, whether that be for monetary reasons or just for shits and giggles, or who knows. I just think that there were some things that could have tweaked a little bit to make this maybe a better movie, a more original movie, perhaps.
Me too.
They almost had it because they went kind of like you said, the Texas Chainsaw route. I think like a Texas Chainsaw or Deliverance route where you really just hammer in like the blood and the guts
Well,
and
there was a point. I don't want to say anything because it'll spoil it, but there was a point where
right.
I was really starting to feel a parallel to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and some of the things. And I'm like, oh, okay, now, yeah, I'm liking this. And then it's like they didn't. I felt like if they had dove into that a little more, it would have. It could have reshaped that a little on my part. It was just such a brief thing, part of it. I don't know. Again, Piglet had a good design. He looked good. I just don't feel like it was a very original design. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I've not looked to see it side by side, but it just didn't feel like it was an original design. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard on these movies because
It is.
I'm a positive person. I appreciate effort. But sometimes you have to, you just have to. No offense to anybody involved in the movie. It is what it is. These are just our opinions, though, right? This is just two people. It didn't work for me. It just didn't work. I didn't enjoy it. So yeah, so it's coming in at a 2 out of 5 for us for Piglet. I would love to hear some feedback from people who, like us, love public domain horror. And what they thought, where they think this falls in that realm. because, you know, again, I think we've gotten some fun ones, had a kind of a strong run with a few of them, right? And this one to me kind of didn't live up to some of the recent ones we've gotten. So, and some of the ones coming up, you know, that I'm looking for, you know, the Bambi and the Pinocchio, those are the Pooniverse ones that look exciting to me. And this one just, I don't feel like it delivered the same as some of these others. But I'd like to hear if it did work with somebody else, for somebody else. So, but anyway, moving on. Next episode, like we said earlier, we'll be reviewing Bleeding, which will be on Screenbox. We have some review links for it, but by the time the episode's out, the movie will have been out for a couple days too. So, you'll have time if you want to watch it before we review it. We will be spoiler free, but it's always a good idea if you can to watch the movie before we talk about it, just in case. So, like we said earlier, thank you once again to our wives. Happy birthday, Kayla, once again, before we get out of here. And thank you to all of our listeners and followers. And if any of you on the date you are listening to this also have a birthday or an anniversary or whatever it may be, congratulations and whatever. Happy birthday, happy anniversary. Good tidings for whatever it is. There you go. You've been singled out. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for us on Listen to Screams or for Listen to Their Screams. You'll find us. We're there. Our pictures, our mugs are on all that stuff. It's easy to spot and pick up. So follow us on all of those because we post all kinds of stuff, guys. We post lots of stuff that's not on here, guys. It's a fun follow on social media. If you like horror, it's not just rehashing everything that's on here. We do post other things. There are some news things that we talk about that we post the time it breaks because it's just so important that we don't want to wait to completely break, you know, put it out there when that happens. We put it out there on social media first. Lots of other things. So get on there, interact with us. We're fun guys. You'll like it. You know, I'm not going to ramble because we have gone long, but as we close out, guys, I do want to say, man, and maybe this is the alcohol, whatever. I don't know. Guys, I'm worn out on everybody in the world being fucking dicks, guys. It's exhausting. It's exhausting that everything's fucking negative. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's bitching about something else. Everybody is just complaining. Fuck, guys, come on. I just want everybody to do better. Just everybody fucking be nice. If it doesn't impact you or affect you, fucking shut up. You don't need to have an opinion, right? We can all have differences of opinions and different senses, and we can all still get along and not be assholes to each other. I feel like we're in some weird ass fucking online social media civil war because it's just chaotic. And I'm not gonna dive into the political aspects of it. But come on, guys, just. I mean, we see hate crimes and people being, you know, shot for things. Fuck, guys, it's whatever, man. I like to think horror fans are above that. You know, for the most part, all the horror fans I interact with have seen whatever at conventions, online, ever. They all seem to be cool, accepting people. I don't know, but so just if you are listening to us, just be nice, be good. Let's spread a little joy in a fucking bleak world right now. Because it's wild out there, guys. So let's be the beacons of light and whatever. There, I'm off my soapbox. Ike, anything you want to throw in there?
No, I totally agree. Like you said, without getting soapboxy, I 100% agree. But you know, just do what you can to make the world a little better day by day. And if you can't, at least just don't be a dick to the people around you. That's the minimum you could do.
That's right, and it's. Man, people, you don't understand. The little things can make someone's day, right? Just a smile or a hi or a thank you or a holding the door for someone or helping them pick something up if they drop something or whatever. Just little things, something could really change someone's day. You know, you don't have to go out and do big spectacular things. Just be nice and just care about other people. Why not? Why would you not care about other people? I mean, I want the whole fucking world to be happy. And to enjoy life and be successful. And I know that's an impossibility, but you know, I don't wish ill will upon many people. There are a few that I might. You know, I'm not a Gwyneth Paltrow fan. I wouldn't care if some bad shit hit her, but no, I'm kidding, you know, some fucking drowning some goop or something. But no, I can't. I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow, but still, just be nice. I'm not gonna ramble on this, guys. Just fucking be nice, right? Just do the little things. Don't be assholes. Fuck him on social media. If something burns you up and you're scrolling, sometimes it's okay not to fucking respond. Just fucking block, unfollow, whatever, and move on. I fight very hard to keep my social media positive things I like. It's impossible. But you know what? If you don't like what you're seeing and you feel like it's ruining your day by just get away from it or put the phone down. Just it's okay to, hey, you'll turn it off and read a book and not worry about the world. People did it for a long time. You don't need to know everything right now. Whatever. Again, I'm rambling. I just want people to quit being assholes. I'm fucking over you guys. No, I'm joking. Anyway, that's it. Couple of positive dudes here. We didn't like Piglet, but we were afraid to rate it too low. That's the kind of guys we are. We
Right.
qualm over, but we don't want to hurt the feelings of someone who's never going to hear our show, probably. And no, it's we try to be positive, man. We try to be encouraging. We try to be supportive because why not? The world needs that. So, and if you're out there and you're listening, even if we don't know you, guys, we care about you. So if you need somebody, if you feel alone, we care about you. If you feel like you need to talk, DM us. I care. I won. We'll engage with you. We'll talk with you. If you just want to chat horror movies or whatever it might be, one of us will engage with you. We're here. We're good
Sure.
guys, I think. I don't know.
Unless you're trying to sell us some weird shit or
That's
scam
right.
us.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
We get a lot of those on the Facebook
That's
group.
right. Don't give us that shit. But no, seriously. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out if you want to conversate. If you don't have anybody, any friends that likes to chat horror movies with you and it makes you feel lonely, we're here. We're here. DM us, engage us, post, respond. We'll chat with you. We'll talk horror movies. We love talking horror movies. We fucking just rambled and done it for 2 hours. Come on, we like to talk horror movies. We get excited about weird ass shit. We're here. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just trying to, we're trying to be positive people. So, all right, that's it. We're going to wrap this up. I'm done talking. Sorry, guys. So wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares. Ah.